Eric DeHatrick joins us as always on a Tuesday morning. Obviously, we're talking a lot about the Flames, as you can imagine. The question continues, and I know for some they're be honest, like this is what the team is. They're a team that's going to be in the running for a playoff spot. It may not be, they may not have home ice, but yeah, they're going to be there when the season comes to an end, fighting for a spot. There are some others that say this has been a nice run, but it is still just November, and there's a lot of road games and losing streaks yet to come. You've avoided that long swoon. Pinder, we were talking about where they sit in terms of shots on goal and shooting percentage. They aren't getting a ton of shots on goal, but their percentage is really strong. At some point, you would think, unless the two kind of meet, there's going to be an issue. Do you feel like they're going to have enough to really get more shots on goal, to be getting more chances, or maybe more likely that it's just going to start going in the net a little bit less?
Boomer, when did you become an analytics guy?
I'm not an analytics guy.
Oh, come on, you just sounded like an analytics guy.
So, no, I didn't say Corsi or Fenwick or anything.
Oh my God! Oh my goodness! Wow! But I have to digest that for a minute. Boomer, the analytics guy. Oh God!
Yeah. I know.
Well, first of all, I've always maintained that hockey is a game that is difficult to quantify. So I guess I get into debates all the time with people who are legitimately analytics guys, just teasing there, that it has to pass the eyeball test, too. It has to pass the eyeball test, too. And so, you know, like, first of all, if you're a mathematician, you know, just because something has happened for 22 or 23 games doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen for another, you know, 59 or however many games there are left in the season. I do think that, you know, that as they start to get their injured players back, you know, someone like Mason Raymond, who's been out of the lineup for a long period of time, was making an impact. I just think that they are going to up the count slightly, but I'm not sure that it's necessarily relevant. I had a long chat with Badgley Living about this too, and I think the salient point that he made is we are not getting ahead of ourselves. He said that lots of teams in the past have got off to good starts, and the key is to evolve into a good team. So if that's true, and to me that's a very rational way of looking at it, then you say, okay, well, what are the elements of a good team? Well, you know, it starts with good goaltending, right? It starts with four defensemen that can really play, and then, you know, strength down the middle. So right now they have two of those three pieces in place. The goaltending has been very good. The defense has been exceptional, and they're getting a lot of production out of a bunch of forwards that most people in the, you know, that follow hockey even pretty closely have no idea about. You know, you've got Sean Monahan becoming a very good player, and then a whole bunch of, you know, who are these guys? I mean, I spent 15 minutes visiting with Josh Juris yesterday because I thought, you know, this guy has kind of come out of nowhere, and I just like what he brings to the table. And when I asked Bob Hartley about him, he said, you know, he's a Dan Hino type. And as soon as you said that, you think, okay, that's exactly right. Because, you know, when Peter Forsberg was inducted in the Hall of Fame the other day, he cited two people. One of them was Dan Hino. Sometimes there are guys on your team that bring something to winning that cannot be measured statistically. And it's a presence. It's a physical presence. It's a willingness to do whatever it takes to win. It's just it's character, I guess, for lack of a better word. So, you know, like all of us, we're getting to know these young players, and what comes through every time you sit down and talk with them is character. And, you know, like, Juris was funny. I was giving him, you know, lobbing up some softball questions, you know, where were you in your draft year, and could you have been a, you know, like a late round pick that just, you know, like, you know, ended up becoming a free agent? He's just laughing, like, you know, it was the Stamkos draft. He wasn't on any team's horizon. And in a very short period of time, he's gone from a free agent that had one offer from Jay Feaster, who used to run the team, to a guy that's playing right now and looks like he's forging an NHL career. And I said this previously, too, when Marcus Granlund came up, that some guys, they come up and they're an injury replacement and they go down and you never see them again. And I thought this was just going to be the start of his career because he's got ability and skill and everything else. So I guess that's a long way of saying that you know, I think they can keep it going. I want to see what these next 20 games look like. This is a good point that Tree Living made in our conversation, that a lot of times the good teams in the first 20 games, especially teams like LA or Chicago that went on a long run, they the first 20 games, they're still sorting themselves out, and then they kind of hit their stride from 20 to 55. That's a really key meaty part of the season. And, you know, so, you know, Chicago wasn't great out of the gate. LA had some issues. San Jose is still having some issues. These teams are going to be heard from. And so, you know, when you talk about a playoff spot, it comes down to math. Eight teams are in, six teams are out. So, you know, there's a bunch of teams that are right on the cusp right now that you just feel, you know, unless they get devastated by injuries, are going to make a push and get their act together and find their chemistry. And so it'll be up to the Flames to keep this thing going. Like, as long as they don't go into those types of swoons that have characterized them in the past, I think they're going to be fine. I think if we have this conversation on or about January 1st, which is when we will be at midseason, I think they'll still be right there in the hunt. And then when you're that close, you know, then I think that, you know, we just have to see how it goes.
It's interesting that you mention character, because I agree with you on Juris, and obviously, you know, Sean Monahan's not a big talker, but he's a character guy, and it takes, I remember it was one of the first, whatever it was, a fan forum or whatever, but we had it on the air, and we hosted it at Flame Central, and there was, Jay Feaster was there, and Ken King was there, and John Weisbrod was there, and they were asked a question specifically about what they were looking for, what kind of players, and John Weisbrod went on about it's going to be an honor to wear the Flaming C. It's not just anybody's going to get it. You need to be of a special type of a person as well as a player. We want skill, but you also have to be the right caliber of person to wear this jersey. And we are starting to see some of that come through. Now, again, I know that the Feaster regime is getting some praise here, but with more and more guys that come through and seem to have that character and identity that we talked about, there may be something to it.
Well, no, I think that's true, but I also think that the current regime also prizes character and kind of the intangible things that you can't measure. I mean, you know, the greatest example is, you know, you look at the mess that's up in Edmonton right now, you know. So, you know, yesterday they threw the goaltending coach under the bus and they hired a new goaltending coach, and they just haven't been able to figure it out. So what, they're 8-9 years now consecutively out of the playoffs. And if you're running Edmonton, you are tearing out your hair saying, okay, what next? You know, we've played the fire the coach card 4 or 5 times already. You can't keep doing that. You know, we keep trying a new goaltending tandem every year. It doesn't seem to be working. And what about, you know, this defense that we figured, you know, was going to be improved because we went out and signed a couple of free agents that were supposed to add stability? Hasn't really been any better. Justin Schultz doesn't seem to be coming around. You know, their best defenseman is playing for the Flames, Ladislas Mead. I mean, it's crazy the missteps that they've taken. And I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that they were so focused on skill and ability because they had all those high draft choices that they forgot that other part of the equation. That hockey is ultimately a team game, that you have to make sure that the guys in the bottom six of your forwards can play as well as the top six, and especially you have to have guys that can defend. You know, so you look at the way the Flames are playing right now, and they have good pieces in their top six on defense. They've got, you know, guys like Brody and Giordano that just attack and put pressure on and have a high skill level. And then, you know, the guys at the bottom that we never talk about, you know, the Engelins and the Smeeds, they're just giving quiet, invisible, solid minutes. And if you have those ingredients on your defense, then that tells me that the bottom doesn't fall out on your team. Because even if you don't get the scoring that you want, there's still ways of eking out, you know, 1-0, 2-1 games. If you're solid in terms of the system that you play and the personnel that you have when it comes time to keep the puck out of the net.
Eric, you mentioned, you know, this ability to skate, and I noticed the team speed here is just phenomenal. They really get up and down the ice a lot. They get behind other teams' defense. You know, Paul Byron is a guy that can move. Josh Juris flies. I just wonder, you know, where a guy like McGrattan or Bolig stands, not just this year, but as the game progresses, because it's just less and less enforcers we see around, with speed becoming such a priority, you know, in building a roster.
Well, I think that, you know, their roles have not been, you know, very prominent in this particular edition of the Flames, and I think that will continue to be the case. I mean, you know, you're right, the league is evolving, and the number of teams that are carrying players that you know, that have a, you know, enforcing role, I guess, is the best way of putting it. You know, they're becoming fewer and fewer. So, I mean, I understood why they went out and signed Bolig. You know, he's a guy, I didn't know him at all, but I do remember whenever I would go to Chicago Joel Quenneville had nothing but the nicest things to say about him. And it was like, wow, I don't even know who this guy is, you know, and he's playing 6 minutes a night. But I think that there was something about his presence in the dressing room that the Blackhawks really liked. And they became an expensive luxury when they got into their cap crunch at the end of last year. And so, you know, that's why he became available. So, I think that they kind of hope that he could do a little bit more on the ice, but he is not hurting them in the other areas of the game. So I think that they're relatively satisfied with his contributions. But you're right, with the personnel that they have right now and this go-go style that they're playing, and the fact that, you know, what is it about, you know, when other teams talk about the Flames, essentially they always come back to relentlessness, you know, that they never let you off the hook, and they're always pushing and they're always pressing, and that creates turnovers. And you know, I guess circling back to Boomer's initial point, you know, you don't have to necessarily have a million scoring chances if you get grade A opportunities. And a lot of times, if you can force a team into a mistake and you create a golden opportunity and it's in the net, then, you know, it doesn't matter if you've, you know, had a dozen harmless dump-ins that the goaltender has just sort of steered into the corner. Those types of opportunities that the Flames have been able to create in the first quarter plus of the season, based on the speed game and the system that they're playing, I just think are going to continue.
We're chatting with Eric Dehatchik on the Lube City Mobile One Sportsnet hotline, brought to you by Lube City Express Oil Change, featuring Mobile One, warranty approved, a change for the better. Curious your thoughts, because you mentioned you had a chat with them. We're now heading into December. He hasn't done a ton of stuff because it's... But Brad Treliving, you've been around general managers. You've been around the game a long time. Your impressions of the still relatively new GM?
Yeah, very impressed. You know, very impressed. I knew him a little bit, you know, because of his connection with Phoenix. Phoenix people I've known for a long time, Don Maloney, Dave King, Dave Tippett. You know, so they had introduced me to Brad, you know, at different times just sitting in the stands in Arizona. And so, you know, I got a scouting report on them. I'm pretty sure he got a scouting report on me from them. And I just like him. You know, I think he's a really smart guy. I think he's a guy that has a real good vision of the way the hockey has to be played. And I think that he has created a culture in the organization where people really like coming to work there. And that's so often overlooked in the minutia of statistics and everything else. You know, make the office a happy place, make it, you know, an accountable place, but not in a, you know, mean-spirited way. And so, you know, whenever I'm around them, and I have been around the team a little bit more this year, you know, partly because they're having success, and it just seems that everybody's kind of on the same page and wavelength. And I think that kind of direction is established by your general manager. And you know, he's been around long enough to know that, you know, that they're building something here. So they're 22 or 3 games into what they're trying to build, a, you know, a successful organization that replenishes from within. And you know, basically, you know, had a great reputation for a long time, and then kind of lost it for a few years there with the kind of, you know, like blatant public mistakes that the previous managerial team made. And so I think that he's the right guy for the right job and has a very realistic idea of where they're at, that this is still early days, and, you know, that they'll be better in a couple years' time when Sam Bennett is a, you know, National Hockey League player, you know, achieving the potential that they think that he has. So, you know, they're putting the right pieces in place, and then they're just going to give them time to develop. And I think that he has the one quality that you need as a general manager of a rebuilding team, which is patience. You know, I often think back about when the Columbus Blue Jackets first came in the National Hockey League, and Doug McLean was the general manager. About a year and a half into it, they fired Dave King as the coach, and the explanation given was that he's done a good job, but we feel we should be further along than we are. And I'm thinking to myself, you're an expansion team that overachieved in its first year, and basically you're getting greedy. And you know, they proved that they weren't really any better when they made the coaching change, and they spun their wheels for years and years, because it's just hard to build an organization from scratch. So, you know, those types of mistakes, they plague some teams sometimes, and that's the one thing that I don't think you're going to see here. You know, as good as this run has been, as nice as it is to see some of these young players and their accelerated growth, they do understand that it's going to take some time still.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again on Thursday, and enjoy the match. Do they finally snap the Schneid in Anaheim tonight?
You know what? Everyone's saying yes. So there's a part of me that says no. For no other reason than it just, you know, I used to cover the team in those days, and And they would just go down there and you know, suddenly they'd play their worst hockey of the year there. I don't know why it is, because it's not that difficult an arena to play in. But yeah, I'm just going to, you know, be contrarian and say, no, it's just going to keep going, because it just, they always lose there.
There you go. Thanks, Eric. We'll talk to you later this week.
Okay, thanks, Boomer.